Two right there.
I'm used to sitting over there. So
yours, I know it's what you administrators don't do.
Yes, too busy.
Too busy.
It makes my brain hurt.
Although I whipped off.
You make my brain hurt a lot.
The volume of on the spot.
Well, you're really good at that, though. All right, so we will stop this meeting to order at 3:34.
It's
just.
It's, you know,
also,
it's not the worst anymore. You know, it's kind of
terrific in one term. President, Vice Chairman on Jet State.
You would know.
Yeah.
There are,
you know, people just think
of Maurice Roberts.
Sam. Those days are over.
Yeah.
I think.
Thank you. Kathy Altman. Present. Kathy Brown. Here. All right. Can I have a motion to accept our minutes, approval of our minutes?
I so move to approve minutes.
I need a second.
I'll second.
This is Manon.
Roll call. 4 minutes. Say aye.
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 How's everybody?
I'm Manon.
She did.
She did. Okay. And I. Okay. That's approved. At this time, any member of the public is allowed to address the committee. Speakers are limited to 3-minute presentations pursuant to Arizona Open Meeting Law. Individual committee members may ask that the matter be placed on a future agenda item or respond to criticism made by speakers. However, the committee may not discuss or take legal action on matters raised during call to the audience. First speaker, Judy Olson.
Oh. Should I go up here?
Yeah, right there is fine.
Okay.
Is there a way that we can see the room, please?
Oh, hold on a second.
You should be able to.
You don't see the room?
I'm alone.
Okay. What if you stop sharing?
I'm not sharing.
You're not sharing.
If she goes to participants.
Yeah. Can you see now?
I can see the room.
Okay.
Maybe if she stands up there, they can see her if that's what they want.
Okay. But then they won't be able to see her. I think we'll be okay. She's on the bottom corner, and Manon's giving the thumbs up. So, okay. Got it.
Hello.
Oh.
Hi.
Go ahead.
So I've been a participant at Edith Ball Therapy Pool for 22 years now. I was in the first class. And I have fond memories of every single year. And I don't like to make this a big complaint about it, but I'm having a hard time understanding an 80% increase in our class fee. I'm not sure if anything's been done about the fees for the last 10 years. But it just seems like all at once, it's just a bit much for many of us. $80. If you break it down per session, it doesn't sound so bad. But if you try to take two classes, which some of us do because the classes were always 1 hour. And then during COVID, there was a sanitation period for 15 minutes, which is still in effect, evidently. So now our classes are 45 minutes and, a large increase like that would really not make sense. So I think that's mostly all I have to say, except I'm really so grateful for all the chances we've had to stay young and to keep our bodies moving. That's what it's all about. For many people, they only come to the pool and it's their only social time at all, ever. They come out of the house and talk to people. And in the beginning, we had dedicated aquatic instructors who were trained to teach a class. And we had water dancing, we had water yoga, we had water tai chi, we had water zone where we do different zones. We had a lot of different things. But I understand, and Ms. Hanway told us, it costs a lot to hire lifeguards and all the people needed to run those pools. I understand that. I do. But now it seems like the lifeguards, these young people, are grabbed and taught how to teach a class, and then we have to hope that we can hear them, that they have something in mind to keep us moving. And they're also sweet, and they try their hardest. But sometimes it doesn't meet our expectations. So there's always talk about training, and that costs money too. But most of all, I just hope there is not a fee increase, and I hope Ms. Hamway looks into the grants we were talking about, Silver Sneakers, and you mentioned the YMCA, and that's not a doable thing right now. But I guess we do need help. But back then, 22 years ago, there was a program, a discount program, according to your income, like the water bill, where, you know, you could take classes and pay a certain rate. I mean, I'm not expecting that, but it was done at one time. So thank you for your attendance, and thank you for listening to me.
Thank you. We have our next speaker is Susan Knight, but we have a letter. Do we read the letter, or does she?
She's here.
Oh, she's here. Okay.
I wasn't sure I was going to be able to share all of it, so I wanted you to have some of the numbers before you. Good afternoon. I'm here for two reasons. First, thank you to the Parks and Recreation Aquatic staff for reinstating two classes after I complained that therapy pool classes were again gutted this summer. I don't intend this to sound snarky, it may, but I am, and we are, from Edith Ball, grateful at Edith Ball that you heard our concern and that you acted. Where there were 8 full classes, all with hefty waiting lists during spring, fall, and winter sessions for Edith Ball, now there are 4 this summer. This is an improvement over the 2 that Parks and Rec initially scheduled, so thank you for adding 2. In online registration May 2nd for summer classes, the 14 slots in each of the 4 therapy pool classes filled within minutes of going live online at 8 a.m. As the 4 classes stand now, 2 AquaFit classes filled with 9 people waitlisted combined. AquaSculpt class filled, 14 people are currently waitlisted. The arthritis class filled, 9 people are waitlisted. While adding 2 classes at the last minute helped, it wasn't enough. 56 people got into 4 classes, and 32 people are on waiting lists. You see the demand. Incidentally, some people said they gave up and didn't register at all because the classes filled within minutes and the waiting lists were already long. I've heard this from going to the open swim sessions. Please, please, for the 3rd year in a row, I beg you, please stop cutting classes every summer in the city's only therapy pool. Next summer, please staff and schedule adequately at Edith Ball to retain the needed and in demand, and revenue-making therapy classes. While pools have been free to the public since COVID, class users have been paying all along. With 19 pools open citywide, schedule swim lessons and other activities at pools around the city as much as possible and utilize the therapy pool. The sign on the building, after all, says Edith Ball, Adaptive Aquatic Center. Make scheduling lifeguards and instructors for the therapy pool a priority at this unique center that should be a feather in Tucson's cap. My second point today is about the proposed fee increases. And though I won't have time probably to elaborate or finish this, I've included more detail about specific costs in my written remarks here. And I did make a point to include those comments in the survey that the Parks and Rec did. And I've spoken with Parks and Rec staff at the various meetings and online, and thank you for hearing our feedback and being so receptive. My plea to you is, please, may I just finish that part of it? Please do not raise the fees for the therapy pool until Parks and Rec has a discount program in place for seniors. Parks and Rec staff said at an informational meeting they've begun to research Silver Sneakers, and we heard earlier today in conversation that hasn't gone very far at all. My classes are doubling from $40-some dollars to $80-some dollars, depending on the class. With 5 sessions scheduled a year, I'll be paying a minimum of $425 and as much as $685 for classes out of my fixed income. On top of the class fees, the proposed fee schedule would have had us also paying another $340 plus to use the therapy pool in the open swims. Ms. Hamway told me this morning that they've looked at that and are considering pulling back that, as I understand it, and she can share more. Many of us who use the therapy pool are on Medicaid, and as Judy shared, the classes are now 45 minutes instead of an hour. So I try to take two back-to-back. I feel guilty because there's a waiting list of 32 people. The reason I take them back-to-back is you have 20 minutes of warm-up and stretching. That leaves 20 minutes essentially for exercise, not enough by the recommendation of my physical therapist, my doctors, et cetera. So I encourage you to increase the pool the class times to an hour and to not apply fees until we have a discount program in place. Thank you for your time. I appreciate it. And there's a little more detail
in the
written remarks. Thank you.
Thank you. Kimiko Washington.
I'm Kimiko. I'm in Parkland. This pertains to the naming of the Aquatic Center at Mission Manor. I would like it, I'm advocating for the new facility to be named the Ocean Washington Memorial Aquatic Center, and I'm asking for this to become an agenda. I'm not just asking you to honor tragedy. I'm asking you to invest in the future and the healing of the city of Tucson. As you may remember, I spoke last month. I am the mother of Ocean Washington, who was shot and killed at Mission Manor in October 2021. And the Aquatic Center is a place that represents life. It's where children learn to swim and families escape the heat. The community builds bonds, and water represents vitality, movement, and survival. And by dedicating the space, we transform this site of trauma into a living sanctuary. I have submitted a proposal for this naming and to place a memorial for gun violence victims. And this benefits Tucson in three profound ways. Healing through remembrance, to acknowledge community trauma rather than hiding from it. It would include installing orange memorial tiles bearing the names of local gun violence victims and creating a visual covenant of safety and peace. Secondly, inspiration for Tucson's youth. Seeing Ocean's name would remind young people that their lives matter and that they are valued and they belong to a city that remembers and protects its own. And third, a legacy of safety and joy. Ocean's daughter will grow up visiting this park, and she will see her father's legacy alive. She will see it in the laughter of other children swimming and playing and thriving in a safe environment. This also ensures that gun violence does not have the last and final word. This designation fosters an environment focused on firearm safety awareness and reclaiming spaces for families. Naming the center after Ocean is a declaration that goodness wins. It ensures that the final word on Ocean's life is not one of silence, but one of community, vitality, and enduring love. As we head into June for Gun Violence Awareness Month and Wear Orange Weekend, this is your chance to turn awareness into action. We continue to lose people to gun violence in this city. Let's make a place where we can teach and prevent so we have fewer victims and less loss. Just as our nation remembers 9/11 and Tucson remembers January 8th, my family and this community will remember October 18th, the day that my son was murdered. But Ocean's story is more than just his ending. Naming the center after Ocean and placing memorial is a tool to save others from drive-bys, armed robberies, firearm mistakes, and we currently have 637 signatures on our petition in favor of the name Ocean Washington Memorial Aquatic Center.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Brittany Manor.
I'm going to come over here. Good evening. My name is Brittany Manor, and I'm here today to ask the city to honor my best friend, Ocean Washington.
by naming the new Aquatic Center at Mission Manor at the Ocean. I'm so sorry. The Ocean Washington Memorial Aquatic Center. I know Ocean personally, not just as a name or as a headline, but as one of my closest friends. He was somebody who showed up for everybody around him. He cared deeply and helped me through some of the toughest times of my own personal life. Being here today is important to me because I want everybody to know the person that Ocean really was, not just the tragedy that took him away from everybody that he loved. Ocean was a student at the University of Arizona. He was a father, a son, a friend, and somebody who touched so many lives. He was killed just feet away from where his aquatic center, from where this aquatic center will be built. And because of that, this memorial would be, sorry, it would not just be a name on the building. It would be a powerful reminder of a life that mattered and a community that chooses not to forget him. Ocean was more than a victim of gun violence. To know him was to love him. He had a way of making people feel cared for, protected, and supported. And I know I'm not the only person that can say that. He was there, like, with his whole heart. He made sure that everybody around him was okay at all times, even if he was not okay. Whether that be emotionally, financially, mentally, he was there. This memorial could help bring awareness to gun violence and educate our community on the real impact it has on families, friends, and entire neighborhoods. Behind every headline is a real person with dreams, loved ones, and a future that mattered. Naming this aquatic center after Ocean would create a place not only for recreation, but also for remembrance, healing, and awareness. It would send a message that Tucson values compassion, community, and the lives of the people that we've lost too soon. Ocean mattered. He mattered to his daughter, his family, his friends, the U of A community, and to everyone lucky enough to know him. I ask you today to honor Ocean Washington, honor the community, and help us make sure his legacy lives on through something meaningful and lasting. Thank you.
I have a minor request compared to some of the others that have been brought up so far today. I'm hoping to get the latches on splash pads around town. Maybe standardized, but possibly. My primary concern is that they'd be safer for kids who might. My kid is 3 years old, and he has fast friends, very, very fast. So I just witnessed this last week what I had been fearful of for a long time, which is a mother who had two children, one of which was sprawled out on the ground, had skinned his knee, and she was attending to him, and the two-year-old that she had with him was able to wander at not a particularly fast speed out the very wide open splash pad entrance exit door, which was made to be wide open by a worker working for Parks and Rec who was there to service the pool pumps and machinery. And he's been told that this is his job to keep this splash pad door wide open. I don't yet have a reason that makes sense to me why it has to be wide open. And I would love for Parks and Rec to look into ways that it could be shut more properly, more securely, for the safety of kids like this two-year-old who was able to get all the way out to the parking lot before this parent was able to recognize that he had gone. And it didn't take very long at all for it to happen. And it wasn't an inattentive parent who was like on her phone or something. It was somebody who was attending to their other kid. And so every time I go to the splash pad at Jesse Owens, I'm trying to keep the door as secure as possible, and I try to look out for other kids. But almost everybody's focus was on this kid who had just fallen and was crying. And it's a very natural thing to happen, and it's very understandable that it happens that way. There's a couple other splash pads, and I love the splash pads. And I love the splash pad at Jesse Owens in particular. I'm there all the time. But that one in particular, I feel like, has the most problem with the entrance exit door. So I would love to work with anyone who can work with me to follow up on this. There might be some difficulties. I heard there might be an ADA possibility of like why that might be the case. Once again, that doesn't yet make sense to me why the door can't be secured in some way that's ADA compliant. But I just wanted to show up in person and demonstrate that I care enough about it to be here in person, and that I care enough about it to continue following up month after month to be on this stubbornly, even though it's a small issue. All right, thank you.
Thank you.
It would be helpful if you could put your contact information on the card.
Oh, should be. Oh, no, it's over here. Yes.
The next on the agenda, we have open meeting law city code presentations. Are they online?
Yes, Susanna Zamora.
Yes. Good afternoon. Do you want me to share my screen?
Yes, please.
Can you see it?
No.
Oh, hold on.
for a minute.
Can you see it now?
We can see it now.
Yes.
Perfect. Okay, good afternoon. My name is Susana Zamora. I am the supervisor for BCC section over here at City Hall, City Clerk's office. I oversee the process and make sure that the LERs, agendas, and minutes are submitted and posted on a timely manner. What is open meeting law? This is a definition taken from the Arizona statute, revised statutes, ARS. The state law was enacted in 1962. The law requires that the meetings of public bodies be conducted openly and that the agendas must be posted for these meetings to inform the public of the matters that are to be discussed or decided. It's also intended to ensure public access to government and ensure that people's business is conducted openly. The purpose of open meeting law. The law requires meetings of public bodies and their appointing committees to be conducted openly to ensure public access to government decisions, since it is people's business. The law aims to promote transparency in government by requiring that the meetings of public bodies be open to the public and the actions be taken openly. What constitutes a meeting? Per the Arizona revised statutes, the open meeting law. Can you hear me right?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Sorry, I had it hear an echo, that's why. Okay, so per the Arizona revised statutes and the open meeting law, a meeting is a gathering in person or through technological devices of a quorum of members of the public body at which they discuss, propose, or take legal action, including any deliberations with respect to such actions. For some BCCs, if you have vacancies, you are still required 51%, the simple majority, but for this BCC, or boards, committees, and commissions, you're category one, so it requires a majority of the members currently appointed and serving shall constitute a quorum. And that's what I have here in this presentation. So you guys have 7 authorized members, so the quorum is 4. A quorum is established by calling roll call and confirming that at least 51% of the members are present. If a quorum cannot be reached at the beginning of the meeting should be canceled. If a quorum is lost during the meeting should be recessed until the members return. If they cannot return to the meeting should end. Staff support, and ex officio members do not vote, so they don't count as quorum. For subcommittees, if you have any subcommittees, they also require a quorum to conduct businesses. And we discourage all members from full BCCs to attend a subcommittee because that can constitute a quorum for the committee. Key components to the open meeting law, the agenda, legal action reports, minutes, call to the audience are not required. Executive sessions for specific reasons. You can also submit draft minutes and audios. Once you have that, and once you have the approved minutes, they must be submitted to the city clerk's office, since they are permanent records. the agenda and public notices. Agenda and public notices are two major requirements for open meeting law. They must be posted at least 24 hours in advance of the meeting, and they must contain information that lets the public know about the matters to be discussed or decided. Since they must be posted at least 24 hours prior to the meeting, we ask that you send them at least 48 hours. For the BCCs that we support, we usually try to do 5 business days prior to the meeting. That way, if there's any corrections, at least you have a couple of days to make the corrections prior to the meeting. You have to keep in mind that the agendas, you have to put, if they are online, a link. If they are in person, an address where they can attend. And if they are hybrid, both of those information. The minutes, or sorry, the hard copies are posted at the lobby at City Hall, and the state also requires that they are posted on our website. With today's technology, the public has come to accept that, so we refer them to the website or City Hall if they want to see a hard copy of that. Legal action report. What is that? This is a definition taken from the Arizona Revised Statutes for Legal Action. Remember, all legal actions is decisions, agreements, commitments, and votes that occur during public meetings. Legal action lists all the legal actions taken for each agenda item. It lists all the members who attended. The legal action report is due within 3 working days of the committee meeting. Subcommittees have 10 business days to file the legal action report with us, or the LAR, like we call it. Legal action report must be posted to our website at least for a year, and they are public permanent records. So, for example, if your meeting is on Wednesday, the legal action report is due on Monday. Minutes. Minutes are another major component of the open meeting law, and it's a requirement. Like the LAR, the minutes must also include the name of the public body, the date, the time, location of the meeting. It must list the names of the members present and absent, including any late arrivals, early departures, and virtual attendance, a general description of the item covered, actions taken, and any motions and votes. The name of people making statements or presenting materials to the committee. A recording of the meeting or draft minutes must be available to the public within 3 business days of the meeting. If you're doing it in writing, we also take audios if you have that. And then the approved minutes must be submitted to the city clerks within 2 days after they have been approved, since they are also permanent public record. Call to the audience. If you have call to the audience, the BCCs may limit the total time a speaker may speak. They should never become a discussion or turn into legal action because there are specific items the speaker is bringing up and it's not on the agenda. The public must be permitted to attend and listen. Any member of the public may record the meeting. The room must be large enough to hold a meeting for the number of people that you're expecting to attend, and no legal action must occur during the public meeting. Violations. If a violation of the open meeting law, if one of the members sends an email to the quorum of the members. So when we email anything to the committees, we usually blind copy them. So we don't, whenever there's a reply, they only reply to the people that are sending the email and not everybody else. A good way to communicate is emailing the staff support or the chairperson. We just recommend that you email the staff support because if you email the chairperson and there's anybody else in that email, that can be a quorum. So blind copy people, that would be perfect. Tips to avoid violation. Don't daisy chain with people. don't spoken wheel. So daisy chain means with member A calls member C, who then calls member C and calls member B and then D. So you're just creating a little chain of people. And then spoken wheel is when member A acts as a spokesperson, calls member B, has a conversation about the agenda, hangs up. Member A calls member C, has a conversation about the agenda, hangs up, and that. So we're trying to avoid. So if you can communicate with staff members of anything that you have to say about future agenda items or anything on the agenda. Your staff support is a great staff person to keep in contact, so I would just reach out to them. This is just another tip to avoid violations. Keep stay on track on the meetings. Talk to about what is on the agenda. Don't go off topic and wandering off. Since you are kind of mimicking mayor and council, focus on the agenda itself. Anything else, it can be a future item that you can reach out to staff, but try to focus on the agenda, and that's part of the staff support. Redirect the people to what is on the agenda and stay on subject. Open meeting law. The reason we discuss the violations, it's either the state or the county attorneys may investigate when they receive complaints, so they are complaint-driven. Additional violations of the open meeting law can also lead to legal challenges and invalidation of decisions made on violation of the law. The meeting would have to be ratified, meaning that you would have to redo that part of the meeting again in a future agenda. Conflict of interest. You must disclose any significant personal or family interest in the agenda items and avoid participating in those decisions. We must act in the organization's best interest, require immediate disclosure of potential financial or personal conflict, and recuse yourself from voting on any related matters. Substantial interest means any minimal financial or proprietary interest in either direct or indirect other than remote interest. Declaring conflict of interest. So if you are think that you have conflict of interest with something on the agenda, let the staff and chairperson know, and then recuse yourself when that agenda item is present. That way you don't have any voting rights on that. So verbally recuse yourself from the agenda item so it's on record on the LAR in minutes. So it is captured on the LAR in minutes. And that's all I have. Here's the information to our website where you can find the agendas, LARs, minutes, our email if you have any questions, and our phone number. Any questions that I can help answer?
Does anyone have any questions on open meeting law? Maurice?
Yes, I do have a question. I belong to a couple of boards, one of them being the Armory Park Historic Zoning Advisory Board. And we had a couple of cases whereas I own some properties adjacent to properties that were being discussed. And I recused myself, of course, and I was told that not only can I not participate in any way, you know, possible, but I had to actually leave the Zoom room, okay, until that particular subject was no longer being discussed. Now, what is your opinion on this?
Recusing yourself and capturing it on the LAR in minutes was perfect. I don't think you can... I don't see that they require for you to leave the room if you're not participating in that item of the meeting. Unless maybe you're looking at you would influence their decision, but I would hope not.
Well, I was asked specifically to leave the Zoom meeting, and you know I was called back when that particular subject was finished, and I don't think it's very fair. I think that participating, giving an opinion and whatnot, I should have still been allowed to actually witness the forum.
What BCC was that? I can look into it, because either way, if you were there or not, you can also see the minutes in LAR once they become available.
Well, that's true, but that's usually not available for, you know, at least 24 hours. Whereas, you know, being directly affected by that those particular decision, it would have been, you know, important, you know, for me to be able to follow, you know, the discussion at least, even though I would have no role into it. So, I, like I said, you know, I understand that the city at the time asked for an opinion from the city attorney's office who came up with that formula, whereas, you know, I had to leave the, you know, the Zoom room. Okay. So, like I said, there seemed to be some kind of a disconnect between some areas of the fair meeting law over here. But it's just in my humble opinion.
That's all right. I can look into it if you want and then get back to you.
All right. Sounds good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Susanna.
Are there any other questions for Susanna? No. Okay, so hearing none, then we'll move on to Robert's Rules of Order. Oh,
Chief. Susanna, were you going to review the Robert's Rules of Order?
I just have the cheat sheet that we provided, so that's all I have. I can try and answer any questions that you have on it, but it basically is what mayor and council are doing. Just follow procedures unless you need it.
Okay. I appreciate you helping us. Thank you.
Thank you. Have a wonderful night.
Next on the agenda was the meeting schedule that we were going to talk about. However, the Commissioner Antonio, who requested it, is not here. Can we just move it forward? Does anyone have a problem with moving the meeting schedule agenda item to another time when Antonio is present? Any comments?
No objection from me.
Thank you, Kathy.
There's no objection from me either.
Thank you, Maurice. Anna?
I'm fine with it, Becky. Thank you.
Same. Okay, thank you. All right, we'll just move it forward. Thank you.
Do you want to on the June meeting?
You sure that? Thank you. Master Plus.
We actually probably don't even need the full 10 minutes on it. Okay. So we just wanted to let you know that we are in the final process of entering into an agreement with a company to do a park system-wide master plan. We haven't done one since 2016. So this would be something that we would anticipate to be quite comprehensive. And the idea would be the first 90 days is a lot of input gathering, like the baseline information that we have. And when we're ready for the public engagement component, we would definitely make sure that the commission is part of awareness and what the intended outcomes or targets are from the master plan process. But we just wanted you to have an awareness that that is going to be commencing this year. Just my brain blanked for a minute. Sorry. And if you recall, Pima County did a parks master plan last year. And so there was a lot of intentionality behind delaying ours so that people didn't get confused between the two different ones. And so really it's more just for awareness at this point.
Anyone have any questions, Kathy?
Sure. What areas does the city's log master plan cover that it's different from the county's?
So the city's parks master plan would address everything that's within the boundary of the city, all of our current assets. It would be intended to get input from residents that live within the city, utilize our facilities, help us to identify where we have a level of service gap, both from a programmatic standpoint as well as an asset standpoint. Pima County was a lot more global. I mean, they go all the way out to like Ajo, right? And in truthfulness, asset inventory assessment is part of this as well, which we think is really important to start lining up that data in the event that we get support to one day do another bond. Then you have a very current, validated reference point for what could be future investments for Parks and Rec. But we are asking a lot out of this, both from the recreation assessment and then the condition assessment and where there's gaps. So I'm excited to do it, but it's going to be a heavy lift.
Sounds like a great opportunity.
Anyone have any questions? Sorry. Kathy? Is there anything?
I don't see Barry.
None for me, thank you.
Oh, one more question. Sure. Is the company who's doing it a local company who's helping and assisting this, the live master plan, is it a local?
So until the contract is under agreement, it's still, I believe, under the CONUSAG.
Okay.
And
so Jasmine, no comment on local or not local?
No.
Okay.
So I would prefer to get
my still confidential. Still confidential. Nothing's been awarded, so we can't say anything about it.
Okay. Who's funding this? This is coming out of
the platform. So this is funded through impact fees.
Impact fees.
So it's not general fund, not 407.
Okay. Thank you.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Good luck.
Okay, so that was easy. Next on the agenda is summer pool operations schedule.
Yeah, so Sierra.
Sierra.
Easy. Slip of the tongue there. Sierra's going to help me and share. The summer pool schedule was released last week. There we go. So what I wanted to kind of talk through here is the fact that the staff did a really good job of looking at two things. What was our schedule last year? What was the survey that we heard from folks on what they liked or didn't like? How were we going to incorporate our Learn to Swim program, which I hope you saw the alert that was sent out. All of our Learn to Swim programs are free this summer thanks to a partnership with Pima County Health Department, which I think is spectacular. And then also some consideration of things that are actively going on right now. Amphi Pool is not on the list. Amphi needs a very significant amount of investment. So for that reason, the hours that were allocated to Amphi Pool last year have been split between Thompson Pool and Jacobs Pool this year so that Ward 3 stayed stable in terms of availability for swimming. If you do talk to anybody and you hear, oh, Jacobs Pool might not be open, we're a little worried because the park itself is still under significant construction. And so we know the lift is on our end to really push out that Jacobs Pool is going to be open and available. These are the hours that we're going to be looking at for June and July. And then Purple Heart is slightly different and gets a small adjustment because one of the things that we've realized is when Vail School District goes back, we have two things that happen. Our actual usage drops significantly, but then our staff are really struggling with those daytime hours because they are also back in school. So we've pivoted as of the 24th to 4 to 7 and then on Tuesday through Friday and then Saturday 1 to 7. So just, we've never really brought this to talk through school schedules with you all. I know Kathy wants us to get to doing an aquatic report. I sent her a note. Still trying to figure out how that's going to look for June's meeting. We just, honestly, May has been a heavy lift for everyone, especially the aquatic team. They've been certifying and training again, and then getting everybody ready. That's why Sarah looks a little spelled out.
The sun. It's the sun.
And then orientation occurred this week for everyone, right, on the 26th. That's why pools
were closed. Yesterday.
Yeah, yesterday. So just want to get into the place of starting to talk through more, like how we make decisions on the schedule, how we stabilize the schedule. When I looked and compared, a lot of the schedule is exactly to the hours that we had last year, which I think is also something that will counteract some of the frustration of significant changes that we hear. So open for any questions that you might have.
Anyone have any questions? The pool schedule. Do you have one, Kathy?
Yes.
Is there any possibility that the therapeutics pool is going to be able to have more classes this summer than the?
I need that. That's a clear question, not a me question.
No. Okay. Not this summer.
Okay. And, our speaker was correct. Originally there was two planned.
Yeah.
Then we heard the input and stood up another two. And we hear for next summer. So, I mean, this good input for us to figure out. But now that next week is literally the start of the summer season, we're kind of locked in. We've had to make some other pivots, too. So it's not that we're not sympathetic. We hear the advocacy. So then that means next year, at the beginning of the year, we can put our mindset of, okay, how do we stabilize those classes and don't adjust? And I would say that in aquatics realm, that's what we've been doing consistently for the last 3 years of trying to figure out how to find the balance between what everybody demands, what money we have, what the survey tells us that people want, and then put it together. Yeah. Yeah. Any other questions?
Yeah. Could we get a copy of that so I can laminate it and post it at my park? Because sure. That way the kids.
I think it's on the website.
I could have printed it out.
Yeah.
My computer is black and white. And so
Stop matrix.
I'm not 3D, so I can laminate it and stick it on my board at the park so the kids know where they can go. Yeah. Because they're closest.
The lifeguards put it on.
The closest is El Pueblo with Quincy Douglas. And because Sunnyside's down now for a while, so.
Yeah, so and then Sunnyside, we've entered into the agreement to do the improvements needed there. And just today, I was talking with them because they needed a copy of the signed agreement to start the work. So I anticipate that will be a pool in the fall that we'll see return.
That would be nice. Thank you for all of that. Okay. Yeah. Proposed fees.
So this really is more for an update on where we are regarding fees. There have been some changes since the last time that we spoke. So I'll try to make sure to go through in order. So pickleball is off the table. It's pivoting to a new solution at the May 5th meeting. Council Member Cunningham proposed to enter into a memo of agreement with Tucson Area Pickleball for them to incur the cost of doing the maintenance in exchange for the court's remaining three. That is in progress. There's also a goal for them to fundraise enough to build an additional 5 courts at UDAL because they've demonstrated how much demand and value there is to having that type of asset there. And then next, we were proposing the therapy / lap swim pass proposal. And at the moment, it's just going to be a lap swim pass, but it's going to be under two options. We heard very loudly from the aquatics meetings. We had one in person at the ARC, one virtually, that folks really were concerned about if they were on a fixed income and they were swimming maybe four times a month, that a $30 monthly pass did not work for their setup. And at the same time, we did hear about folks that do swim five times a week, five times a week all month. So then that the $30 pass might work for them. So we heard a lot about bring back the punch pass. And so we talked through that with the city manager's office, and there was an agreement to move forward with both options, a $2 per visit punch pass. So you could buy it in, and we're still going to figure out the mechanisms. If you're going to buy it in a group of 5 visits, 10 visits, you'll be able to pay for it through Easy Reg online or in person at a couple, at every rec center, or the $30 monthly pass, which really will cater more to that person that is swimming 5 times a week, like traveling to different pools and going that frequently. We also, last week, I attended the Commission on Disability Issues and presented to them all the fees that we have proposed. And their interpretation of adding a fee to the therapy pool was, to them, inequitable when general pool swim was still going to be free. So talked to the city manager about it, and he was supportive. So that's why we're just now going to be going with a lap swim pass and not a therapy pool and lap swim pass. Yeah, and so that will roll out September 1st because we're going to need some time to educate the public and stand up for those for that fee to, or that pass in the two options to proceed. The other slight change is the fees that are affiliated with summer programming, so KidCo, summer camp, in-betweeners, learn to swim, because they are, they basically, we register in May and then are serving June, July. To then make them in effect July 1st after we've already done registration doesn't make sense. So their commencement date would be January 1st of each year. So the amount still stays the same. It's just when they go into effect to allow them the system to reflect it would be the beginning of the calendar year. And it's been a lot of fees to talk through and quite the process and a lot of meetings. There definitely still seems to be some confusion around the youth sports fee.
Yes.
And I've heard a lot of different variations of what it's considered to be. It is a $100 per team fee. Right now, your little league groups, soccer groups that are serving kids do not pay for the use of the field. They pay for the use of the lights at night, but that means that we've had no cost of service recovery at all for quite a large volume of use of the field. We understand there's concerns about condition of fields. However, this is gonna, one, start us on a path for doing some cost of service recovery regarding fields and the use, and the allocation process, which is substantial in amount of time for all of them. It also, in our estimation, is going to right-size what the requests that we get. We forecast right now that we do have groups that might overinflate their numbers to get an increased allocation of fields, and that's why sometimes in season you'll see fields that are sitting empty. And then we get people who are really angry because, you know, they're crammed on a small field and really would love to use the field adjacent to them, but they can't because technically it's assigned to somebody else. It's our forecast that this is going to level us out a little bit. Yes, we'll increase, we'll get some revenue that we haven't seen before. but it will also allow us to hold them accountable to what they're saying they're serving. So right now, that's still on track to be adopted on June 9th. I'm trying to think of any other specific changes at the moment, but I think those are the major ones. So at the moment, and then, of course, what we've heard today, I'll convey to the city manager's office and talk to them before.
And I've heard from some teams that said they don't mind paying the $100 as long as their bathrooms and fields are safe and clean.
Mm-hmm. And we've heard that topic come up. We are looking, and I don't want to get off topic from fees necessarily, but I'm definitely in the headspace. And before Greg left for vacation, we were talking about different options to approach restroom management. In the next meeting, we'll talk about our new PACE program, which is our dedicated team to homeless issues within parks. And we are going to be looking at how we do turf maintenance as well to see how we improve. But right now, I can't say an overnight solution. That's the reality.
Yeah.
So open to any questions, concerns, comments?
Manon. Kathy. John.
Well, I just want to make
no questions from me. Just thank you for presenting that information and clarifying for us today.
Thanks.
No problem.
Maurice.
Well, okay. What I heard this sounds pretty good, but we're not really going to know what's going on until the budget is approved and the dust settles. And at that point, in I think we should be ready, with our fundraising efforts, when that time comes, because we know we're going to have a shortcoming, no matter what. So I think, Director, Hamway has some very good ideas. Okay, I like it. Okay. Again, like I say, until we get the final decision from the from city, okay, we're not really going to know how much of a shortfall we're going to have. Okay, so I think we need to keep our eyes on the ball. Okay, and once we know how much we're going to be short, to bring services that have been eliminated and more services that obviously are on the verge of being eliminated, then we'll be able to make, like I said, more decision, go more into the meat of the subject of fundraising efforts. We're going to need to do, obviously. We need to grow. Okay. Reducing the operation is not an option. We can hear from, the folks that use our facilities that, not enough opportunities for the folks to actually really enjoy it. Okay. And it all comes down to, one reason, no money. So, at this point in time, like I said, let's keep an eye on the budget resolution. Let's see what comes out of, city, mayor and council, and then we'll be able to move forward.
Thank you, Maurice. Okay. Moving on. Reports and announcements. 10 minutes. Parks and Rec commissioners, do you have any announcements? Kathy? Do you have any announcements?
No, thank you.
Okay. Kathy Dong, do you have any announcements?
No, I do not. Thank you.
Manon, do you have any announcements?
I do. I have a couple. This weekend on May 29th, we have a ribbon cutting at Palo Verde Park, and that will be at 5:30 p.m. This is for a ceremony for friends and neighbors for the park as a whole. And on the 30th, around 9 a.m., there is going to be a larger celebration at Palo Verde Park where they will be unveiling the basketball courts, which will be named after Judith Mama Blair. Judith was a Tucson treasure who passed away in 2019.
Her son Joseph played basketball for the UA and went on to be a long pro career and is now an NBA coach. So there's going to be a lot of fun at Palo Verde Park if anybody wants to come and join. I'll be there on both occasions. Thanks.
Thank you. Maurice, do you have any announcements?
Well, I want to congratulate Parks and Recreation with the construction of Armory Park. It's coming out really nice. Okay, I don't know if you guys took a drive around there recently, but you know the new concept shell is amazing. I really didn't expect it. I was very pleasantly surprised. Also, I understand that there's really good communication between Parks and Recs and the folks that are actually doing construction around the Armory Park, center concerning, water catching measures. Okay. And I just want to congratulate Parks and Recs for, good communication there. Everybody seems to be happy. But again, like I said, please, take a drive around Armory Park. You're going to be surprised and shocked. It's beautiful. Okay. And congrats. Good job. That's all I have to say.
Thank you. I just want to ask a quick question regarding the splash pads. I know that a lot have been closed because of flood, destruction, vandalism, buttons broken, things like that. So what's the upkeep on all of the splash pads for repair work?
I don't know.
I know.
So Barnapal, yeah, you got that? So Barnapal has been repaired. We got those, I think, last week, and he was fixed it within an hour. So Barnapal's back up and open. The splash pad at Udall, because someone broke glass on deck that went in the pool, we have to drain the pool because when they built the splash pad, they connected it to the pool. Because the pool doesn't have water, the splash pad doesn't have water. Also, glass was broken at Freedom. We believe they threw it over the roof or over the fence. It broke. It went in the pool. And again, we had to drain the pool in order to get the glass out, which they're still doing. And because that splash pad is also connected to the pool, if that pool has no water, the splash pad has no water. So, Barrio's prepared.
Okay, how about Mr. Matter then? Is it going to be the same?
Mr. Matter's in the same boat. I believe the splash pad is connected to the pool. So, yeah, if that were to happen at the pool at Mission Manor, the pad will go down too.
Bummer. Right. So, how do we secure all these things so they don't get vandalized like that?
Build 40-foot high fences around the pool.
I mean, I don't want to hit the topic because we didn't agenda that. But
the quick question on
that. But that's the glass issue is people can fling something, right? And at Barrio, we also had an issue with them throwing rocks into the bucket, right? So
that happens at Gunny too.
Yeah. So
jeez.
It's, if I
can we agendize that?
Sure.
The problem with that is like guys try to make Gunny and borrow their first stop to make sure there isn't rocks in it so it doesn't land on a kid.
Right.
So it's usually their first stop.
Okay.
The kids like to throw rocks in the buckets.
Basketball?
Yeah. We've seen shoes in there, too.
All righty. So that was my concern was splash pads.
Okay.
And safety for the kids. Okay, Stephanie.
So another thing that if the glass breaks in the pool, it won't go in the pad because it won't go through the filtration system. So I don't want you to feel like we have a glass shower at the splash pad.
Okay.
Yeah, that should not happen.
Should.
Should.
Shouldn't happen.
Yeah.
PSA about breaking glass.
I did three today. I should have just held the press conference.
To be honest, we're being a little more transparent this year about why we are shutting down pools or splash pads. There was a lot of stuff going on last year that we kind of just internally managed and just said it's offline. But we're trying to educate and build more awareness that we are suffering from people who decide to make bad choices.
Thank you.
Staff reports. Dean, you're at the end of the line.
I am at the end of the line, or the beginning of the line, depending on how you look at it. I would like to ask that all the splash pads be up and running ASAP, because summer camp starts next week. Yes, it's here. Similar to the aquatics team, we are having all of our summer camp counselor meetings throughout the rest of the week. They're making sure that all of our counselors are ready to go and prepared for the wonderful children that will be spending lots of time in our centers, our splash pads, our basketball courts, and every other amenity we have. So I really wish there was something more we could talk about outside of that, but it's summer, and that is literally all that, you know, you're going to have going on for the next 2 months. Kidco wrapped up, and it's, you know, everything was wonderful there. Survey, and a lot of the survey items we brought up in our meeting so that we get better trained staff. So the staff this morning was very, Aaron and I went, they seemed eager to be there. They had to be, but they didn't seem like, it seemed like a
checking in 7 weeks.
I'm not saying that after second pay period it won't change, but for right now they all seem very eager to and ready to
fun.
Watch our youth grow, play, and have fun.
Cool.
You did?
Sure.
Oh, I have more.
I don't know. Do you?
He always does.
Should I defer to Ms. Turpin? Ms. Turpin.
Well, we open on Sunday. Summer season starts Sunday. So if your pool's open Sunday through Thursday, you're good. Lara said, mentioned our partnership with Pima County to offer the free swim lessons, which is really cool. So we are having them at 11 locations. We have a few new locations this year, too. We added them over at El Pueblo, which is nice. Let's see. We have them this year at Himmel, Thompson, Purple Heart, Menlo, Clements, Quincy, ARC, Archer, El Pueblo, Fort Lowell, and Udall. So we're able to, we added in an extra PM location, which is nice this year to give the night lessons options. We're finishing up our very last SSI class this week, which is totally perfect timing because then they just start this week. It's all fresh. So we have plenty of teachers. We added 2 last-minute lifeguard classes. We were hoping to get 20 additional staff. We got 25. So our pools are nice and staffed. We did have our orientation yesterday. We had over 200 of us there over at the Donna Liggins Center for their all-day orientation. We like to knock it out just so we're fast and furious, you know. They get to learn all their things at one time. but yeah, we're just going.
Good to go.
It's hot out there. Drink your water, people.
Yeah, they said June.
Learn that today.
Mm-hmm. Too much coffee, not enough water?
Not enough coffee, too much water. I'm drowning over here.
Says the aquatics person.
Just a couple other highlights for recreation. We had a large single mile event at Armory Center earlier in the month. Over 150 seniors attended. We had different groups from different centers participate. Mariachis. We had raffle prizes. Dean and I were special guests serving on the line. They had super nachos that day, so it was a fun event. El Pueblo had a large Mother's Day event. About 80 people showed up for that. We had a DJ with dancing. They had catered from St. Mary's. So they had a good turnout there. And for city sports, we had our softball league that just wrapped up 39 teams. Last week was their final week. So they're on break until the fall. And we have our city volleyball league that ends June 9th, which we have a total of 10 teams that plays out of Randolph Center. And then just for all the ward offices, we have one dedicated center as the cooling center starting next week, which would be Archer, Donna Liggins, Freedom, Randolph, Udall, and then El Pueblo has a Cooltainer, which will be available every day, daily, even on Sundays and holidays from 12 to 4. So anybody that needs to get out of the heat can come to the center, get some water, get the shade and the AC, and that will be going on from June 1st through the end of September. And that's all I got.
Terrific.
If I may say something, I forgot earlier to relay the congratulations from Tucson Water in their communication with Tucson Parks and Recs. They are very impressed, and they really enjoy working with them, with Parks and Recs on what had to be done at Armory Park. And they wanted me to, you know, relay their congratulations in the level of communication, which is between both organizations. So here I am. And I also wanted to bring to the attention of everybody here that Santa Rita Park, I understand, is reopening in August. And there's a second meeting of the Friends of Santa Rita Park organization, which I believe is going to be happening sometime next week. And there's talks of organizing little leagues and a whole bunch of family-oriented programs. I'm just keeping my fingers crossed that everything's going to work out okay. We obviously still have, you know, some kind of, you know, homelessness issue in that neighborhood. If you drive around 22nd Street and 4th Avenue, you see, you know, groups of folks living under trees. I don't know where they're going to go when the parks reopen. Time will tell. But again, like I said, Tucson Water was really, really impressed with the level of communications with Tucson Parks and Recs. They asked me to relay their congratulations to you folks. So here I am.
Thank you.
Kudos.
Thank you. Directors.
Thank you. So the one thing that I have on my list is that we did submit to PCOA for the 6 sites, like we indicated the last meeting, for the new version of the congregate meal program. So we're just waiting to hear from them on next steps. And then Maurice stole a little bit of my thunder, which was about Santa Rita and Armory are definitely in a lot of discussions right now about what does opening look like for those independent locations. And actually, Maurice's Friends of Santa Rita meeting was last night at Ward 5, and I believe the next one is June 27th. So there's definitely a very robust friends group that is trying to help problem solve with activation, positive activation. And then Councilmember Barajas also is being really like hands-on with meeting with different groups and then passing them on to the parks when they're interested in being at that park. And there's going to be a very huge marketing campaign around rebranding what people consider Santa Rita to be. So looking forward to that, and likely we'll have that on the June agenda to kind of talk through a little more.
My fingers are crossed.
Thank you. And so it's moved over to August?
Right now it looks like mid-August. It sounds like it's going to be a 3-day celebration, but I don't have all the details yet.
Well, yeah. I have a question.
I'm sorry.
And the update on where Silver Sneakers, whatever the Medicare adjunct program is, will they be cooperative with the city government?
I don't have a very specific update yet. I've been kind of poking around to see what's available. And I can, if you want, we can talk about this in June as well. When I contacted the YMCA, they told me that a lot of their conduit to those programs they're in came from their, like, administrative higher level, okay, not at a local level. So they didn't have points of contact for me. And I have sent some emails and not gotten responses back from different groups. So June is going to be my focus to try to figure out other programs that we can sign up for.
Understood. Okay.
To be a provider for.
Okay, our next commission meeting is June 24th. Does anybody have a future agenda item that they want to see in June?
I do. Okay, since by then, hopefully the budget, the city budget will be approved. I think that we should have two meetings. One general meeting to go over what was approved. Like I said earlier today, you know, what will be our shortfall, what will be needed to cover our shortfall, and with a view into expanding in the future. And as soon as the budget, the city budget is approved, would strongly suggest a reunion of the subcommittee, budget subcommittee, so that we could start, you know, talking about taking some concrete steps to, you know, bring cash flow. So I would like I said, two requests. One, budget subcommittee to be decided after the city approves the budget, and a full commission meeting regarding the way into the future as far as the budget is concerned. Once again, the city budget has been approved.
Thank you. Manon?
Well, I understand what Maurice is saying. I'd like to, a lot of people won't know this, but for years and years and years, the commission usually took breaks in June and July because so many people would leave town to get out of the heat. And it would be difficult to make quorum. We haven't done that since I've been on the commission because we've had such a hard time making quorum. But there is going to be a possibility that I am going to take a brief vacation in June. I will try to be back by the 24th, but for a secondary meeting, I think it's going to be a bit tight for me for June.
Okay. So you don't want to come in June. That's what you're saying.
Not for a second meeting.
Oh, but you'll make the 24th meeting?
I am hoping to. It's, you know, it's a little up in the air right now. But, yeah, a second meeting would be impossible.
Okay.
You're asking for agenda items?
Right, for the future agenda items.
If I will be curious if there's any mitigation about temperatures in the pools, how to keep the therapeutic pool really hot and how to cool off the lap pools, and that might come up under the planning thing for the live master plan, or maybe there is something I don't know now. So that's an item I'd like to know more about.
Okay. Kathy Dong, do you have any future agenda item you wish to bring up?
I do not, no.
Okay, thank you. And if we can agendize the splash pad issues. Thank you.
Oh, yeah, gates.
Looks like we're done. So do I have a motion to adjourn?
I will motion that we adjourn. I will move that we adjourn.
Do I have a second?
I will second that motion.
Okay, all those in favor, say bye.
Aye.
Bye.
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 Bye. Bye. Thank you, everyone.
Bye, everybody.